In June of 2007, Victoria Snyder, then age 9, attended a week-long church camp. During the week, she began to feel sick, muscle aches, lethargy, headaches. A doctor at the camp thought it might be the flu, but she didn't get better. So after camp, her mother, Christine, took her to see a pediatrician.
They found the bullseye ring on her stomach, and I thought then that the danger with Lyme disease was if you weren't diagnosed early, if they missed the diagnosis. And so I felt a lot of relief when they put her on antibiotics that Lyme disease wouldn't be a big problem for her because we knew what we were dealing with and she had the medicine.
In 2007, there were only 84 confirmed cases of Lyme in West Virginia, most of which were in the Snyder's County, Berkeley. 7 years later, that number almost doubled to 136. The next year, 2015, it doubled again.
The number of cases that we are diagnosing are increasing, and it's not that we haven't diagnosed it before, it's that it really hasn't been here before.
That's West Virginia University pediatric infectious disease specialist Catherine Moffitt.
Why has it not been here before? Well, we think that the mountains in eastern West Virginia have been our barrier of keeping those two things away. And so our border states have very high levels of Lyme, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and now Lyme has moved in here.
Others disagree, saying Lyme has always been in West Virginia. It just wasn't well diagnosed.
I don't think that there's a great wall of West Virginia and that all of these ticks that carry these diseases stop at its borders. And, you know, it's rampant in Virginia and it's rampant in Pennsylvania. And let me tell you, it's rampant here.
That's Dr. Erica Pally, a West Virginia-based physician who used to work for WVU.
The presumption was that for some reason, West Virginia was thought to not have much Lyme disease. Now, I would propose that this is a self-fulfilling fallacy based on the fact that doctors are told there's no Lyme disease here, and therefore they refuse to test people for it. Therefore, they don't find it, and therefore they don't report it.
Pally and Moffitt have both seen and treated Lyme in West Virginia, but they view the disease in very different ways. Moffitt adheres to the Infectious Disease Society of America's recommended guidelines for Lyme, which basically state that Lyme is hard to get and easy to treat. Pally, who has personally had Lyme, believes that the IDSA's definition of Lyme is too narrow. Rather, she follows guidelines from the International Lyme and Associated Diseases Society, which state that there are more than 100 strains of the bacteria that causes Lyme in the United States. Therefore, a cocktail of antibiotics, rather than a single round of one, may be needed to treat Lyme.
When you come down to it, I really believe patients have the right to be informed of the risks of their alternative choices. And I would always do that. I'd say, look, this is the deal. This is what you have. This is the infectious disease standard of care is to treat it this long with this. And then the ILAD standard of care is to treat it as long as it takes with whatever it takes. And these are the risks of the potential treatments. And these are the potential benefits. And what do you choose to do?
Pally said eventually her supervisors at WVU asked her to stop diagnosing and treating Lyme or sending out any more specialty tests. Instead, Pally says, she was instructed to send patients she suspected had Lyme to the infectious disease specialist at WVU. Pally says she understands that decision since she was hired as a family doctor, not a Lyme disease specialist. Nevertheless, she resigned from her position at WVU because she thought it was unethical to not treat patients she really did think have Lyme. For one thing, many of the patients Pally saw had stories like Victoria Snyder's. Back in 2007, after her first round of antibiotics, Victoria didn't get better. By November of that year, Christine took Victoria to an infectious disease specialist in Winchester, Virginia, who recommended that she be admitted to the hospital and given 6 weeks of intravenous antibiotics.
When she finished the IV antibiotics, she definitely had, I would say, less of the cloudy thinking, like her mental, you were back to normal mentally, I would say. And so we were just hoping that, you know, her energy would catch up.
It never did. Victoria is now 17 and a senior in high school. She tests negative for the bacteria that causes Lyme, but most days it is all she can do to get out of bed and get through the school day. The doctors Christine took Victoria to said,
she was cured of this Lyme disease, and it was official. So there wasn't a lot of willingness to look at, well, what's causing the problems that she's having.
The Snyder's insurance refused to continue paying for treatment since Victoria no longer tested positive for Lyme. But Christine says,
Victoria was just, I would say, a normal, high-energy 9-year-old kid. And, you know, I definitely see there was a change in her, and it's never been the same since she got sick.
Despite their differences, both Pally and Moffitt agree that Lyme disease is being diagnosed at a higher rate in West Virginia. They also both say that it's preventable, and that the best way to tackle Lyme disease is to take steps, such as wearing pants, checking for ticks during the warm months, and wearing bug spray, that keep that bite from happening in the first place. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Carol Lofton.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, with support from the Benedum Foundation.